countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Have you cattle to sell? Find out what they're worth with our marked price calculator on farmersjournal.ie.
But first, recent land fires in Kerry and Wicklow have brought to the fore the debate around upland management and the legal use of fires to clear land and scrub material. But the fires in Wicklow last Sunday drew a lot of attention because it fell outside the control period. It's not just farmers that burn scrub, be it legally or illegally. Many fires in spring and summer are started accidentally or maliciously. But the burning of vegetation is controlled by the Wildlife Acts. But as and from the 1st of March last to the end of August, it is illegal to burn eligible land and scrub, and offenders will be prosecuted. Suzanne Campbell has been looking at this issue this week. Suzanne, good morning. Will you fill us in?
Good morning, Damien. Yes, as you said there, you know, Wicklow fires unfortunately were again in the news this week with the burning of upland heath there just near Loch Dan, close to the Wicklow Way, the famous walking route, last Sunday evening. And as you said there, it seems to be an issue every springtime and summer. This is not the legal period to be burning, and they present these fires, you know, a big risk to biodiversity and also, of course, to human life if they get out of control and if they're near houses and near, you know, habitation areas. I talked to some people in the area of Loch Dan, and, you know, they described to me this awful fire. It flames 30 feet in height, burning gorse. A very tough evening for the 18 members of the fire service who fought the fire. And unfortunately, the chief fire officer did acknowledge that this fire was most likely deliberately started. As we've said on the programme before, it's almost impossible to prosecute these cases. You need to actually catch the person with, you know, the matches in their hand or the diesel lighting the fire. It's also worth remembering, as you said, that many upland fires are caused accidentally. We had some ones in Wicklow near Loch Bray, I suppose, last year, a very big fire that was started by a barbecue tray brought by visitors. But we also know that some upland fires across Ireland are in the summer season started by farmers to clear land. And it's something that the farming community is very, very much against. Now, Wesley Anderson is the National Parks and Wildlife Service manager for the Wicklow region. He's also living quite local to the area where this fire began. And I asked him what happened last weekend.
Yeah, the fire last Sunday night was in an area called Kerrigan Chinna, which is on the side of Scar Mountain, which overlooks Loch Dan. The land in question is upland heath and habitats. It's a special area of conservation, it's a special protection area, and it's part of the Wicklow Mountains National Park. It burnt an area between 30 and 40 hectares, we estimate, and it done quite a lot of damage in that area.
To look at it, you see gorse burned and the ground blackened. But you were saying that there's other more hidden and long running impacts from these sort of events.
The damage extends beyond the footprint of the burnt area, which in itself is a direct loss of habitat of associated insects, birds and animal communities. The species that are not killed by the fire are displaced into the surrounding areas and compete for food, other resources, breeding and nesting territories because they've been pushed out of the burnt area. There's also effects that the fires will have caused damage to underlying peat and soils. This leads to bare soil, peat and burnt material being washed into watercourses, and invariably some of this ends up in public water supplies. So looking at a fire on a distant hill in the Wicklow Mountains can see the effect of water that comes out of your kitchen tap.
So burning within the permitted period, and we know that projects like the Suez project in the Dublin Wicklow Uplands are trying to develop people's understanding of the protocols of burning within the permitted period. But these can get out of control as well.
Yeah, well, as you say, there is a legal period for management of vegetation, which includes burning as well, and that's from the 1st of September to the 28th of February. It should be done as part of an overall plan, but also that you're burning the correct habitat. You only burn dry heat and not wet heat or blanket bog, because it's been shown that fires in those type of habitats have a severe impact on that type of habitat. And actually, under the habitats regulations, you're not allowed to burn on wet heat or blanket bog. Also, got to think about, you know, the best practice would say that you patch burn areas, which is 100 metres by 100 metres, and you don't do it too frequently. So you're looking at a rotation of 8 to 15 years. Also, and this is what, you know, projects like Suez are trying to do, is that the people involved, they need to have the proper skills and are properly trained and equipped for the job. So you're talking about manpower, possibly water, that the weather conditions are right, that you have light winds in the right direction for that site. The wind is too strong, it can cause problems, and it's very hard or nearly impossible to manage, especially if it gets into gorse, as we saw on Sunday night.
Controlled burning is one of several measures used by the Suez project mentioned there, which is a European innovation project in Wicklow. We've talked about EIPs before. They're brilliant projects. And this one is looking at solutions for land management in the upland areas and hill farms in the Dublin Wicklow Mountains. And they have an ecologist studying the impact of controlled burning, taking censuses of insects and bird life and looking at regeneration if it's done in a very, very controlled way, particularly very high gorse that is literally a danger if it is abandoned for years and years. But during the week, Jennifer Whitmore, Social Democrat TD, which is near, she sits in the Greystones area near enough to lockdown, I suppose, and she was very vocal on this issue. She's opposed to burning full stop, even controlled burning within the period where uplands management of gorse is allowed from September to the end of February.
The absolute last resort for managing the land should be fires. You know, so we need to, I think, change how we frame this discussion. And like, it's interesting because I know there's a lot of discussion about farmers and what farmers need to do. But the reality is it's government policy that has really set the direction in this over years and years. And through their policies, encourage and facilitate this to happen. Land that's deemed marginal or scrubby and farmers are trying to clear it because if they don't, they won't get their payments. And this is how they would normally deal with it. And I think what we really need is for, you know, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Heritage, the Department of Environment to really sit down together and rethink how this is managed. Because, you know, anyone who has grown up in a rural area knows the farmers are really good at getting things done, right? If you ask them to deliver something, they will deliver it. And the reality is the government and the Department of Agriculture has been asking them to deliver the wrong thing for years. And we need to actually pay them to deliver the right thing now. You know, farmers aren't going to want out there burning their land, but they're doing it because that's what's been driven and has been driven for years and years by government policy.
So, you know, what actions could be taken, not just to talk about it changing, but what specific actions could be taken to change the way those payments are structured?
I think there needs to be a complete relook at the payments. When we're talking about the Wicklow National Parks and the fires that happened there, I mean, they're special areas of conservation. So the primary objective of those areas should be from a biodiversity perspective. And anyone who's on that land should be paid to manage it for biodiversity. But none of our national parks are actually governed by management plans at the moment, which is quite astounding when you think about these are the areas that we culturally think of as our natural areas, our wild areas, and yet none of them are being managed through management plans. I think that's the first step. And then the government needs to sit down and think, well, how are we going to encourage that to happen? And that will be through a payment system. We need to value the farmers' work in protecting that land. So it will take a complete relook at how they manage it, how they do their payments, but it's not impossible. And it's the way we need to be going.
But changing farm payment systems, as we know, is a little like turning the tank around. It does not happen overnight. And in the meantime, the present system where hill farmers are penalised for, I suppose, in inverted commas, unproductive land, rather than rewarded for that land's biodiversity, they will try and manage it in the autumn-winter period rather than get penalised for that. We know that these areas are biodiversity rich and wet uplands act as valuable carbon sinks and increasingly, you know, policies are valuing that. I asked Wicklow Uplands Council member Brian Dunn for a response to Jennifer Whitmore's view that fire just has no place in the equation.
My reply to it, I suppose, is everything in balance, you know, and the use of fire in the uplands can be a useful tool, not just for grazing purposes, but also to promote biodiversity in these areas as well. Because if you have large tracts of very dense vegetation and essentially monocultures of that, it's not the optimum conditions for flora and fauna. So if you have more diversity within the vegetation, you're going to have more biodiversity. Like Wicklow Uplands Council is not saying that every area out there should be burnt or that every area is suitable either. But there are, in certain instances, but I think it must be about balance. Nobody wants to see large-scale wildfires happening, but having farmers in these areas and managing them, that is the best tool that we have.
And is the Suez project, is that its aims, you know, to manage growth in the uplands in a more sustainable way? But fire is part of that, isn't it? If it's executed in a particular, very limited way.
Yeah, exactly. So with the Suez project, there has been controlled burning carried out, and those areas have been identified carefully. The controlled burning, it can be a quite difficult process. You need a lot of people. You need to have the correct gear. It's not something easy to do. You know, when it's done and done correctly, it can be successful. Suez has been working with farmers And a big part of it as well is about trying to keep these areas in the best condition they can be. But it's about supporting farmers to do that and helping them to do that. Hill farming is in decline. You know, it's not a very productive system and it's very difficult. It's not an easy place to farm by any means. But again, I suppose if you don't have farmers in these areas or managing the hills, they're going to change. And I suppose we need to keep people in these areas to keep local rural communities alive and vibrant as well.
That's Wicklow Uplands Council member Brian Dunn there, ending that report from Suzanne Campbell. Suzanne, as always, thank you very much for that.